Hello there, and you're very welcome to Poem of the Week. Hello, I'm Morgan O'Reilly, and once again, you're very welcome to Poem of the Week, Near FM's year-long series promoting poetry. The series is a collaboration between Near FM, local poets, and members of the community. Each week, we will be celebrating poetry, both new and old, Irish and international, and published and unpublished work, alongside a significant date in our calendar. This week's poem is An Tarach Thiar by Marcino Giron, read now Os Gaeilge an Os Berla by Triona Nic Rúirí.
An Tarach Thiar le Marcino Giron. Far ag glan a cré, the yim sean spoide, sa gúnas haive, im rohe lé, bin an uim, san arach thiar. Far ag caha clíoch o ghrím, is an amann iarag ag lonrú, i dainiv gréine, ar ghúling wáin, nívrach an rárg, san arach thiar. Maná lochóin, in éachtar dí a trá, a gótí crapa, scóilí hís fúha, tóvrárg síoch, san arach thiar. Tull willi fana, ag madi rava, corach lán eisg, ag tacht chuntladi, ar orwyr wawl, i nera lei, san arach hir. A man cleaning clay from the back of a spade, in the gentle quiet of a sultry day, sweet as the sand in the western spring. A man tossing down a creel from his back, and the red seaweed gleams in the sun on the white shingle, glorious the sight in the western spring. Women stand in the rock pools at low ebb tide with skirts tucked up, casting long shadows on the peaceful scene in the western spring. Gentle lapping of oars as a corach full of fish come towards the shore on a calm golden sea at eventide in the western spring.
An Tarach Thiar by Marcino Giron, read there wonderfully by Triona Nic Rúirí, and I'm joined in studio now by Triona herself. Thank you very much for coming in, and that was a lovely reading.
Thanks, Morgan.
Triona, tell us a little bit about this poem. What made you choose it?
Well, I suppose that we're talking about St. Patrick's Day, and it's a time for celebrating our Irishness, but I think it's also maybe a time for reflecting on who we are and what it means to be Irish. You know, it's difficult, I suppose, in the modern world to assert our nationalism, our sense of nationhood, without maybe, you know, resorting to kind of sort of hackneyed ideas of, you know, sort of the violence that nationalism has brought in the last century and concerns today about countries breaking up and the future of the European Union and so on. And I think there's a lot of positive things about, you know, Irishness or any sense of identity and sense of place, really. And to me, this poem is a poem about, you know, love of a place, but also love of an idea. And the Ireland that Marcino Giron depicts in this poem wasn't the Ireland he was living when he wrote it, because he wrote this poem living in Dublin. He was remembering his childhood in the Aran Islands. And to me, the poem is about, you know, the harmony of people and the land. You know, it's a very green vision. You know, they fish in the sea, they grow potatoes in the ground, they fertilise the land with the seaweed, and they work together. Like the term Mehel Ibra is one of the terms that he uses in another poem of his, which is teamwork. You know, the men go out fishing together, the women go collecting sea creatures and seafood together. It's that richness of life, a sense of community, a sense of belonging. The music of the poem, the rhythm of the sea, the sense that the seasons impact specifically on their lives. There's a harmony for them. You know, they're a native people in their native land. And I think that in a way, Marcino Giron is idealising perhaps a little bit life on Inishmore, because while I'm sure it was lovely, it's also very cold and wet and damp and grey. You know, we know, we've been there. And I think that in a way, his ideal Ireland is an Ireland I think we still aspire to.
Yeah. You know,
and not just in a sentimental way of, you know, oh, the famine and all that, but just the idea of that people living in a harmony with their world, you know?
Absolutely, I'd agree, yeah. And it's just, I found it very interesting at the start of your point there, you were talking about all of the difficulties that people have in Ireland and further afield of expressing a kind of a nationalism at the moment. It's become a little bit problematic, you know, it's seen as possibly racist, and it's getting too strong, certainly in some fronts. I mean, you wouldn't have any hang-ups, you don't think it's problematic at all to be espousing a kind of a cultural nationalism
by really, you know, by trumping Irish poetry and saying that we should definitely read Irish poetry on St. Patrick's Day. Would you see any problem with that at all? Or
no, I think cultural nationalism is the way to go, you know, to say that our culture has a value and a beauty is not to offend anybody else's culture. And I think that, you know, it's healthy to be interested in our own culture, but also obviously the culture of others.
Yeah.
But, you know, we are the guardians of our culture and our language. And, you know, Máirtín Ó Dhiarán, for example, he was a young man who spoke Irish until he was in his late teens. He learned English to go to work in Galway and subsequently in Dublin. He came from a tradition we don't have anymore. We don't have people born in that kind of splendid isolation of one language. And I don't think that's a bad thing. We live in a modern world that's multicultural and, you know, where the world is very small. The internet means, at least while we have net neutrality anyway, that everybody is accessible and we're all, you know, we're all global neighbours now. And people travel much more easily than they used to across borders. And that's all a really wonderful thing. But we are the only people who can preserve our culture. And when you hear, you know, things like the last native speaker of some Native American language dies or whatever, or the last Manx speaker died, you know, 50 years ago or something, let's not let that happen to our culture, because I think that every language has a perspective on the world and a beauty of its own to offer.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, and of course, it's not just the language, the music and the, you know, the authentic sort of nature of what it means to be Irish. Let's share it with our visitors to this country rather than use it as an exclusive thing to divide people.
And what about Máirtín Ó Dhiarán himself? Can you, a lot of people might be familiar with him, certainly from the education system, but he's a kind of a poet of international renown as well.
Well, he certainly is, yeah. I mean, he's been translated into I think 50 or 60 languages. He won international poetry prizes. You know, his poetry has travelled the world. He would be highly regarded internationally. And I suppose it's interesting that a poet whose poetry was all really about life in the Aran Islands in his own childhood should be so famous worldwide. And I think it's because that, you know, his poetry is like a beautiful artefact in the same way that Ulysses encapsulates life in Dublin in a single day. His poetry recreates for us life in the Aran Islands in the early 20th century. And I think that's his gift to the world. You know, it's like a precious vessel. Even that one poem that we just read now tells us everything about the way of life. As I said before, the farming, the food, the fishing, the community, the music is mentioned repeatedly in the poem, the rhythm of the sea. All these things, you know, he paints that picture for us and he preserves for us that glimpse into a past. And I think that's something that's magical and alluring, not just to Irish people, but to people all over the world, to get an insight into the authentic life. Yeah, I think that's one of the fascinating things about Irish cultural life. You know, we're inclined to think of sort of Ireland as being a cultural backwater, as I suppose the English did, you know, during the time of colonialism. But actually, if you look into Irish literature and poetry, particularly in the Irish language, the connection with Europe is enormous. You know, you look at, say, for example, the sort of famous vision of the Provençal troubadour travelling around singing songs to his lady love, the Amour Courtois poetry that was massive in Europe during the 1400s, that came to Ireland. You know, we have our own Dán Ta Grá, entirely based and grown out of that Amour Courtois culture that has then its Irish twist, which is actually that it's full of nature imagery. You know, and that's because there was a constant communication between Ireland and Europe. We have Irish poets writing in the Irish language in the, you know, the 17, 1800s, referencing not just Shakespeare, but ancient Greek legends and Roman myths. And, you know, we had a very strong and powerful cultural life. And one of the oddly damning effects of English was to destroy that, because as people turned from the Irish language to the English language, they didn't have the richness and history in the English language that they would have had it been their language for so long. And, you know, it's taken time to develop. And it's probably little wonder that many of our greatest writers in English came from, you know, Dublin, where the English has been longer part of the culture.
I wanted to ask you, because this poem and many of others of Ó Dhiarán's work feature on the Leaving Cert and the Junior Cert, and there's always a problem for English poets, and probably more acutely for Irish language poets, to be featured on the educational syllabus, because you kind of become an object of derision or object of hate or resentment. Do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing to have Ó Dhiarán Or others like him, Irish language poets on the education system.
It sounds like you're referring Peg syndrome there. I can just about bring myself now, I think, to think about Peg's hair without getting hysterical. I think there is a value to it, because you know, the reason why I suppose we have poets and writers on our education system is because we decide in our wisdom that this or that is too valuable not to pass it on to the next generation. And I suppose for the vast majority of young people, Máirtín Ó Dhiarán might be the only sort of relationship they have with a poet in the Irish language, you know, writing it in the 20th century about what it's like to lose a language and culture.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's something I suppose very special and exciting. And as you mentioned already, he is a poet of world renown. I mean, we have Shakespeare on our Irish curriculum, and it doesn't seem to have harmed his reputation internationally.
And we're reading as well, we're reading this poem, as you said at the top of the interview, to mark Paddy's Day, St. Patrick's Day. And I was just thinking, I mean, St. Patrick's Day, it's as close as we have to a kind of a national day, a kind of an independence day that the Yanks might have, you know. And it's only right and proper, really, I feel as well, that we should have an Irish language poem. Any thoughts of the day yourself? Any fond memories?
I don't know. I think that the funny thing with St. Patrick's Day is that for many Irish people, you know, we all know about it and we love it and it's great. And I remember as a child that it was all about, you know, getting up in the morning and getting your shamrock pinned to your jacket and being brought to mass. And, you know, then you went home and people got drunk. You know? And my mother's from the country, from County Offaly. And I remember we'd be at home and like, that night was when there'd be lots of drunken singing and dancing out in the street, because it was a pub across the road from us, actually owned by my cousins. And, you know, that's a kind of an odd thing you mentioned about the national day. In a way, we don't have a proper national day.
Really,
it's almost like we're ashamed of our own nationality. You know, I think, in fairness to the current government, or the one that'd be the current government, in fairness, I think that the 1916 commemoration was well handled, but we found it difficult as a nation, I think, to handle it. You know, there was lots of resonances of what about, you know, sort of Northern Ireland and Tristy the Troubles and, you know, Civil War.
Well, we haven't got to the Civil War.
We haven't got Civil War memorial yet. You know, we're not entirely comfortable with our history.
No.
And with our culture either. You know, there's a lot of resentment. Simple things like learning Irish in school, as you kind of touched on earlier.
Yeah.
You know, we're not sure who we are in a way. And I think that's maybe the thing that St. Patrick's Day does, is it forces us to reflect. I remember as a child realising that St. Patrick's Day seemed to be celebrated with kind of more style and aplomb by the Americans.
And it does, absolutely. Yeah,
I mean, even the best marching bands were still American marching bands that came.
The river being dyed green in Boston or
Boston,
Chicago?
Boston, yeah, and all that kind of thing. And you know, even in Dublin, on Dublin St. Patrick's Day Parade, it was the American bands that really whooped it up, you know, stuck it up to us to do it. And I suppose, you know, in a way, that there are people who are maybe better at celebrating their culture and their history, and you know, they don't care, but maybe because they are a nation of immigrants, they all have a shared history in that sense, whereas maybe, you know, our memories of Civil War and Anglo-Ireland and so on make us still kind of divided. I don't know, but we're not good at celebrating it, I don't think, well, which is a pity. We need a day where we celebrate with joy our culture and our history, and maybe one of the things we can do is using Patrick's Day, as I said at the beginning, I think, is a time of reflection on what it means to be Irish in the 21st century.
Well said, and why not a bit of Irish poetry to reflect and to celebrate on? Trina, I think we might leave it there.
Okay.
Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
And discussing this wonderful poem with us. I know you're teaching Irish and English in Mount Temple, just down the road as well, so, and you've been there for quite a few years.
We don't need to discuss how long.
But the best of luck with all your... imparting the Irish language on the next generation.
That's it from us for this week. A big thank you to this week's contributor, our production team and everyone at Near FM, and also to Paula Meehan for her advice and support on this series. Poem of the Week is broadcast every Monday at 12 noon and every Saturday at 10 a.m. Join us next time for Poem of the Week. Good luck and God bless.
This programme was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.